Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. US, you can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Well, well. No time to chit-chat. There is so much going on in the world of college football, a lot of it off the field, which sometimes you just got to check those boxes and talk about it. So we'll do it in our headline segment coming up. We will be joined in about 10 minutes. Braden Gall, good friend of ours. He's the owner of 440 Sports. Also, you can hear him on ESPN Radio. He's part of Athlon, et cetera, et cetera. So Braden Gall coming up. And then Russ Mitchell, our Wednesday friend in hour two. He will be with us in the bottom of this hour again, coming up about 25 minutes from now. College football news, et cetera. You know him from, again, SiriusXM, Fox Sports, et cetera. He has been around for years and years doing this thing. So we talk to Russ every Wednesday during football season. But right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, Jeremy Pruitt's attorney seeks October 29th settlement by Tennessee. That would be Michael Lyons of Dallas representing Jeremy Pruitt in a lawsuit. He's requesting $12.6 million, saying that my client is due every dollar of his contract. Has set a deadline of October 29th. I believe that is next Thursday, I believe. Is that right? Next Friday. And if not reached with Tennessee, an agreement reached with Tennessee by next Friday, there will be a lawsuit, which he has described will cause damage to the university and the athletic department for years, if not decades. It's according to him. So he is going to go scorched earth on this. Headline, Clemson's Dabo Swinney says no interest in LSU football coaching opening. And that's true about that. Dabo Swinney, I have given you my opinion. He does not have an interest in the LSU opening because of a lot of reasons, none of which have to do with the quality of that program or the opportunity to win. Dabo is on the short list of coaches who can choose for other reasons, and he could choose another program just as high profile, if not more, than LSU. If he's going to switch jobs, it's supposed to be Alabama, and Alabama's not open. And there's no reason he can't stay at Clemson right now and let that entire scenario unfold. Speaking of the LSU job, headline. Ed Orgeron to finish out season as head coach, quote, with our team. Says, this is our team. I want to finish out with it. I'm a Louisiana native. He went that whole thing. Says, I don't know what comes next. I'm open-minded. I need to take a year off. I want to spend some time with my kids. He says, however, really not much has changed in the immediate. The focus right now is on Ole Miss. I'll tell you, Florida has its own issues to deal with. I mentioned yesterday, you threw four interceptions into an LSU secondary playing without Ricks or Stingley. Folks, you only get like probably 11 or 12 possessions in a game. Four of them, you're like, yeah, here you go. So they have their own issues. I'll give Coach O credit. They came out and won that game against a talented, well-coached opponent. Well-coached most Saturdays. That was not a great performance for either side for Florida, but not this past Saturday. But his focus, and remember, the story we got afterwards was this was already reached on Friday, that he knew going into the game. He's like, well, I'm getting paid anyway. But he had the team prepared enough to beat Florida. Speaking of Florida, headline. They're on a bye this week. UF coach Mullen not committing to starting QB versus Georgia. They play next Saturday in Jacksonville against undefeated number one Georgia. Emory Jones started last week against LSU. He did not finish the game against LSU. That was Anthony Richardson. And there was some setup from defense or however with a shorter field, but not every time. Anthony Richardson led them on four straight scoring drives. So I don't know how Dan Mullen's going to do it. He's got to figure it out. Headline, ex-Washington State coach Nick Rolovich to sue over firing. State mandate, if you're a state employee, which Washington State is a public university, so if you're employed there, public employee, got to have a vaccine. Nick Rolovich said, I'm not getting it. Well, all right, you're fired. I'm going to sue because you don't like me. That's kind of what it is. He says the AD doesn't like me. And the reality is you got a state mandate, and he didn't follow it, so he and four other assistant coaches out. He says, I want to sue. I want my money. I don't know what legal leg he has to stand on, but that'll be between him and his attorneys. All right, consider yourself up to date. We break. Come back, talk Braden Gall next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
There's a very old school PR mentality. It's Old Testament. I mean, it goes way back. Always keep your bad news out of the papers. No matter what, keep your bad news private. Under the rug, sweep it wherever you got to. That's old school. You know what new school is in college football? NCAA sanctions cost a lot less than a buyout. And that is the competing interest in Knoxville right now. What LSU was doing with Ed Orgeron, in my opinion, will give you all 16.9, but let's be friendly about this. Versus Tennessee, which back in December, I told you, I was watching that press conference. The university president was saying, and here's all the dirtiest laundry in Knoxville. And I was like, ma'am, hush up. So I don't know what Jeremy Pruitt's attorney, I mean, it can always get worse. Believe me, I learned that in Las Vegas. It can always get worse. However, I'm not sure quite the size of the hammer that Jeremy Pruitt's attorney has, because the university has already gone out of its way to air some of its biggest transgressions and let everybody know about it. And that was, I mean, 10 months ago. I want to welcome on now a guy who knows all about the SEC. We're going to start on Rocky Top. Owner of 440 Sports. You hear him on ESPN Radio yonder in Nashville, part of Athlon as well. It is Braden Gall. Braden, how are you?
What's up, man? How we doing?
Doing okay. How many more transgressions are there for Jeremy Pruitt and his attorney to air if Tennessee does not break him off for $12.5 million?
I would guess, and you got to be careful here with
sure.
what you say. I would guess that there's something there. I don't think this is the same lawyers who represented David Beatty at Kansas when they actually started that, like the new trend of agents manipulating and schools manipulating buyouts started with the David Beatty firing at Kansas over like some ridiculous, like level two violation. It was a total sham. Right. And he got David Beatty a settlement. I would guess that, and yeah, I think you phrased it exactly right, because the reason Ed Orgeron and LSU, I mean, there's a lot of dirty laundry there. And it's not of the NCAA violation variety. That's a very different problem. It's one thing to say that kids are getting paid. I don't think you lose any, like, moral high ground in that sense, right? You could lose scholarships or bowl bans or whatever, which is a problem for your program. But no one's going to, like, the FBI is not going to come knocking on your door for covering up, you know, NCAA violations. There's a lot of incentive for LSU and Coach Orgeron to keep it very, very quiet. Let's just leave it at that. In Knoxville, I would assume he's got something, but probably not as much as he thinks he's got. So I would sort of probably say the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. It's probably not as clean cut as Tennessee wants it to be. But to your point, they've already said they've kind of already shown their hand and said, look, we've got cause because of X, Y, and Z. Here's all the things we've got. The NCAA has not even sent a letter to the school yet. So that's what's scary about this, is that all this could play out before the NCAA even gets involved. Like, they're sort of like under, they're like going through it all right now. Like, it's still, the NCAA hasn't even sent a letter to the University of Tennessee yet of allegations. So there's still a lot more to be seen and heard here. I'm curious, if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, though, like, do you want to work in college football again? That would be my question, because if you're going to start threatening universities, other administrations are not going to look too kindly on that.
You know, you and I are of an age where it's almost funny that, like, an envelope of cash and an Escalade, it used to kind of get people's attention. Like, that's the good scenario now, isn't it?
100%, because I think what we've learned, I mean, there's just been an evolution. There's two tracks here, right? One thing we've learned and one thing we've changed on as a society is that this is a, you know, $200 billion business, and we just don't care that the workforce gets paid, because we all sort of feel like, well, they probably should be. Oh, they are doing all the work here. They probably should get some compensation. So I think we've come around on that. And so your garden variety recruiting violations, just, I don't think people care about it anymore. I think that, you know, we as college football fans, we love the sort of the scandal element of our sport. I think it's baked into our fandom for a long time.
I've been a boxing fan.
Exactly, to some degree, yeah. And yeah. I think that's sort of like we sort of are fans of the sport because of the dirty of how it gets pretty dirty. I think where it loses people is when you're covering up sexual assault allegations. That's when you lose people. Penn State, Baylor, and it's not just LSU. It's not just Jameis Winston and the Tallahassee.
Oh, it's North Carolina. It's a place like North Carolina, which is a sacred educational place, and they devalued every diploma that came off that campus for about 15 years.
Well, and that's like a whole other track too. Like, even that, I think, like, I went to Tennessee. I knew what classes the athletes were in, and I didn't care. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't devalue my diploma because maybe some athletes weren't taking tough classes. Like, that doesn't really bother me as much. There's a lot of non-athletes that were taking really dumb classes and just flying by with a 2.1 and graduating, right? Like, there's a lot of frat boys that are devaluing my diploma just as much as athletes.
Oh, no, but I'm talking about, like, making up classes didn't exist.
Of course. Yeah. I just mean
– I took golf. I did.
Right. I even think there's a difference between academic cheating and – the health and safety of the people on your campus. Yeah. That is a different thing. And more of that has come to light as a society. More of that has come to light across the board. More of it's come to light in college sports. And it's not, as I mentioned, it's not just Art Briles and Joe Paterno and LSU and Les Miles. Like, Colorado, Oregon State, Ohio State, Florida. Like, you can go down the list. Like, it happens on every campus. And unless you are putting the health and safety of the people on your campus ahead of winning and large amounts of money, which very few people do, it's the biggest problem in college football. The biggest problem in college football is the lack of transparency on how people on campuses are treated and what we do to keep players on the field. I think that's a very different subject than, oh, somebody was getting 200 clams in a McDonald's bag.
Wrapping up, Braden Gall. Get him on Twitter, @BradenGall. You know it's him. Got blue check. Let's stay in the SEC East. And I said I cannot explain, not even to myself, how UF throws four interceptions into an LSU secondary without Ricks or Stingley. But they did. And Dan Mullen, I mean, he's got an issue on his offense, and it's in part his own creation.
Yeah, I think – he's a slow player with the quarterback position, which I actually think is a good strategy generally. Maybe that's a little old school to your point about how you and I may be a little bit old school. I don't mind that he slow played Tim Tebow, that he slow played Anthony Richardson here. Some of it was the injury. He's clearly a more talented weapon. You know, Lincoln Riley's learning this at Oklahoma, that he's got a more talented weapon on the bench, and maybe he didn't know it, and Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
You know, Emory Jones was the veteran. Emory Jones had earned the right to play. Emory Jones was the guy you thought was going to take care of the football and make the right plays and get the team into the right. And he almost beat Alabama because of it. But the rushing defense combined with the quarterback play last week, maybe the LSU players are rallying around their guy they knew was getting fired because I'm assuming it had been swirling around the campus last week. It was before the game that the negotiations had started. For Ed Orgeron's, it's not even a separation. Like, he's staying an employee of the university, but he won't be the head coach anymore. So it's very – that whole situation, you could see maybe the players rallying around that to some degree. The reason – how they ran the football for over 300 yards, a team that couldn't run the football against one of the best rushing defenses in the league, is just beyond me. It makes absolutely no sense. Todd Grantham needs to go. There's no question about that. That probably was the case last year. I'm curious how many guys want to come work for Dan Mullen. he's not an easy guy to work for. And why has he held on to this guy for so long? I don't know. Can he recruit at a certain level? I still think he's one of the best offensive minds in all of college football. Anthony Richardson is going to be unlocked in his offense because he's the perfect player for Dan Mullen's offense. The question is Dan Mullen going to be around to coach him? I think he should be. Can he recruit and can he build up a defensive coaching staff that is worthy of Florida levels? That's the question.
Braden, I appreciate you carving out some time, brother. Thank you so much.
Yep. Always a pleasure, man.
All right, Braden Gall. You know what? There is such a simplicity in certain aspects of football, and it's not a simple game anymore. I told you, I hate offense. If I still coach defense, I would need two concessions. Just two. You get three formations and no motion before the snap. If I could get those two concessions from offenses, then fine. It would become easy again. An aspect of offense is easy. That guy's better. Now, there's all kinds of context off of that of, well, the other guy has played more. He's been on campus longer, not from seniority, but experience-wise, I'm saying. I don't care about seniority. I really don't. This is not high school. This isn't about whose turn it is. You've been on campus longer. You've been in the program longer. You played for me longer, which means you have more experience, or you should if you've been paying attention. And so Emory has all that. And Emory showed so much about, and I'm being serious, folks, character, inside, et cetera, by waiting and waiting. And then there was an injury, and it still wasn't his turn, so he waited some more. And now it's his turn. It may not be his turn. Because that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. Playing quarterback in college, it's not about, well, it's your turn now. Especially in Power 5, let's keep climbing the ladder. Especially in Power 5, especially in that conference, especially in a place like Florida. So you started far and wide. There's a program at Sacramento State. They might be the Rams. They might not be, but they might be the Rams. Sacramento State. Hornets, I'm being told. Thank you, David. So Sacramento State, you know what? You're playing college football. Well, actually, I'm in FBS now, and actually I'm in Power 5, and I'm in the Southeastern Conference, and by golly, I'm in Gainesville, Florida. Playing quarterback there. It's not about turn. It's not about who waited, or it's not a deli. Anthony Richardson's a better ball player. A lot better. Caleb Williams, better ball player. Especially for what you are asking your quarterbacks to do on Saturdays, not Sundays, on Saturdays. So Hope, Lincoln Riley, Dan Mullen, among the others, they make the easy decision.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It just means more. I always wonder in like the PR, like the final vote meetings, like you realize there was a previous, somebody approved that? No, somebody pitched it. It just means more. Didn't you realize that was going to get mocked? I'll tell you, the SEC, it just costs more. It costs more to have someone not coach your program anymore. It might cost Tennessee $12.6 million if they blink. Despite how much dirty laundry they've aired themselves, they have an attorney go, I'll air some more dirty laundry. Whereas in Baton Rouge, Scott Woodward's looking around going, yo, Rocky Top, this is easy. You just write a check. I want to bring on now a guy we always love talking to during football seasons, folks. It is Wednesday's bottom of hour one from college football news, from SiriusXM, et cetera, et cetera. Heisman voter, all that stuff. Russ Mitchell. Russ, brother, how are you today?
I am kicking tires, lighting fires, baby.
Let's talk Knoxville and just outright threats of we may not win, but we'll embarrass you. Now, I will give the attorney 1 point credit for being transparent. Tell me how you believe this unfolds.
I think it is much ado about nothing, and it eventually disappears. But, you know, first of all, what should have been an amazing – I mean, folks, what was it? How many games was Tennessee supposed to win at the beginning of the season? What did Vegas have them at? Like three?
Oh, three and a half and or four.
That should have been like, when did y'all forget how to win or how to behave?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm old enough to remember when you were winning national championships. Like, how did you forget how adults behave in social settings? Maybe it's the whole COVID thing. Maybe people have forgotten how to behave when they get together in a social environment.
Russ, I said on Monday, I was like, the Pride of South Am marching band had to run for cover on their own turf. Like the cheerleaders on their own turf had to run for cover.
With the signs over their head.
It was awful.
Dude. Listen, by the way, it just means more. That's the greatest ever. because I don't care what anybody else outside of the South thinks. It means they're speaking to us. And it, you know why? Because it does mean more.
Which by the way, people, is a raging Southern attitude is, I don't care what you think.
Right. And you know what? Usually I make fun of that. But actually, I don't care what everybody else thinks because it does mean more down here. It does. But that's not always healthy. So it's important to recognize when you are being unhealthy, like when you choose to have that last drink. You know, you should at least have the mental acuity to be conscious that you are not behaving well.
You see a story on Sunday morning about a gunfight in the front yard following a college football game broadcast. It was in Bessemer, not Syracuse. I promise you, it was not in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Okay, it was in Frostburg, Florida.
Occasionally in West Virginia.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Occasionally in West Virginia. Listen, at the end of the day, let's just divorce ourselves for 1 second from that ridiculousness. Very impressed with Tennessee. Very impressed with what they're building. Yeah. Very disappointed to see Hooker get injured there at the end. Not because of the end of the game, but he's just really a beacon of light. I don't have confidence in Minton, and I like the way that Hooker's playing. But again, this is the problem with these teams in the SEC. And I don't mean Tennessee. I mean whatever team at whatever point in time doesn't have enough depth, right? So, like, and this is part of my concern about Georgia. You know, is they as good as they are and as much depth as they have in the front seven, they don't have the same kind of depth that Alabama has, and it's a long season, and we're only halfway through it. Tennessee definitely doesn't have the depth.
All right, well, let's talk. It's way different details and different, you know, strategies to handle it, but it's its own dysfunction in Baton Rouge. It was an ending that I think everyone agreed would happen. It was just, okay, we'll win. Well, we know that when is the Texas A&M game, I suppose. Tell me what you believe is going on in Baton Rouge, like leading up to the Florida game and the discussions with Coach O that we know they were already completed. And then, like, walk us through how you think the next 6 weeks goes for the program.
Yeah, and we should save 5 seconds to talk about this game because it's a huge game.
Big Tulane.
And by the way, even before we start with that, I'm a little bit irritated with Kiffin to try to downplay what happened in Tennessee. Am I going back to Tennessee? To try to downplay what happened with Tennessee and, you know, talking about passion this and passion that. I have passion. I don't throw batteries at my neighbor.
No.
All right? You know, that is not passion. That's, I mean, if you do that out in public, they arrest you, they put handcuffs on you, and they take you away. You can't do crap like that. You know, and if you're a fan of Tennessee, or if you're just a fan of the SEC and you have friends in Tennessee, you call them up and give them the crap they deserve right now, because that was embarrassing. LSU is embarrassing, brother, but it's just a different kind of embarrassing. And I think that every LSU person I spoke to for the last 2 weeks was just, I think everybody, even Orgeron, you know, everybody just seems to be happy that this is over.
In the NFL, when we see the 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 openings, you know, come December, January, Russ, don't we always rank them? All right, well, who's got a quarterback? All right, well, the Chargers, so they'll be the most attractive job. It's always who's got a quarterback. I think in college, it is beyond just that one position. It's like, all right, who's got the roster? Who's got the facilities? Who's got the money? Who? LSU, they've got everything. I mean, there can't be a better – now, there can be an absence of dysfunction, but there can't be a better job just by description of what you're walking at, roster, facilities, money, opportunity to really win, recruit. There can't be a better job than LSU coming open.
No, and you left out the athletic director, and they LSU might have the best athletic director in the conference.
He ain't timid.
No, so you know, and I mean, if you just look back at, he got Chris to go to the Huskies when he was at Washington, and no one thought he would leave Boise. You know, he got Jimbo to come down to A&M. He's Woodward is fantastic. You know, I think that, of course, LSU plays in the SEC West in particular, which is, you know, a landmine. But it's not like Saban is, you know, a spring chicken anymore. And the bottom line is, most of these guys, by the time you make it to the level that you're competing for the SEC, for the LSU coaching job, you think you are the you-know-what. You know, you think you can walk on water.
Yep.
So it's like, bring me Saban every year. You know, you're the guy who holds up you're the fan who holds up that ridiculous sign that says, we want Bama, right? It's like, no, you don't. But LSU will get a very, very talented player. They've got everything that you need to win a national championship. I mean, they just won a national championship.
Yeah, last thing, and Georgia's off this week, and I know we look ahead, but I don't know if you want to say throughout 7 weeks or maybe just against Kentucky, or I keep asking, you know, anybody who I talk to is like, all right, do you see a crack? What is the opportunity against Georgia? What's the angle, the avenue?
Yeah, I know. We've been talking about this since the beginning, and we picked them. I think you had them as your team, right, at the beginning of the year, too?
Yeah.
Depth. That's my concern with Georgia, depth.
So get it to November. Depth. Get it to December is the...
Yeah, just be healthy. Be healthy when we get to the end of November. You know, be healthy when we get to the end of November. Keep focusing. You know, I listen to all these people saying Georgia is the new Clemson, right, when we used to say Clemsoning and all that sort of thing. Look, these kids were born in this century. You know, they barely remember life before, you know, they don't even remember mailboxes, you know? I mean, let alone payphones.
You sound like a broken record. What's that?
They don't even, you know, they're going to be fine. They're going to be just fine if they can stay healthy. So, you know, and that's my greatest concern. Otherwise, there's not a team in America that can keep up with Georgia.
Is Kirby a Sunday guy?
No. God, I hope not. None of these guys are Sunday guys, dude. I mean, maybe, like, I thought Urban Meyer might be able to be a Sunday guy because, you know, you got to have that sort of personality. You definitely can't have a Nick Saban personality. Is not going to work. And, you know, Kirby's a little bit too, I don't want to say micromanager. That's a little too harsh.
I look at Pete Carroll, And I know what he is. He's probably one of the two or three best defensive coaches on the earth, but he has that sort of California cool, that sort of open collar thing going. He is an exception because I think like a 29-year-old, 8-year vet, he don't want you coming in yelling about his dedication and drive.
I'll tell you who's a Sunday guy. I'll tell you who will end up coaching on Sundays for 15 years. Kiffin.
You think?
Kiffin's a Sunday. Yeah, Kiffin's a Sunday guy. He's still young, so, you know, he still does the silly thing with Twitter, and he's having a good time, and he's playing to his audience, which is largely 18, 17-year-olds, sure. Right? You know, I mean, that's who he's recruiting. Sure. He'll, you know, he'll continue to get older and mature, and he's got that California lifestyle, or that California – he was raised to be an NFL coach by his dad, so I think that – I think he will eventually graduate to the National Football League.
Russ, appreciate you every week, man. Do it again in 7 days.
One quick thing.
Oh, yeah.
Ole Miss absolutely annihilates Louisiana State this weekend. Annihilates. It lost in the Florida game. LSU gave up, if not for four interceptions, LSU gave up 500 yards.
Yeah.
If Corral plays, if I guess this all boils down to if Corral plays, he's only thrown one interception all season.
Yeah, we have a pretty reliable opinion says he's playing and starting and the offense will roll and there ain't no, quote, ain't no way Lane's losing this game.
I might have to think about giving my Heisman pick to Corral.
Did you watch the Tennessee game?
I know.
30 carries?
30 carries. He's tiny, man. He's tiny.
Oh, he's 6 feet.
No human being that size should carry a football
He doesn't need the cleats to be 6 feet, but he needs the socks, I think, to be 6 feet. I mean, he's not big.
He comes out on the field and they play that Munchkin song from the
Wizard of Oz.
Dorothy, Wizard of Oz. You need to get that little Munchkin song playing so when he comes on, when you talk about him, you can play that in the background. I love the kid, but he's tiny.
Follow
30
him
carries.
On Twitter at Russ Mitchell CFB. Talk to you next week, man.
You just can't catch him. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Again, Russ Mitchell do it every Wednesday during the season. You just can't. We had him at Media Day, and I already knew what his dimensions were anyway. Had him at Media Day, sat down, nice guy, and was wearing a suit, looked all very business and buttoned up, and I'm like, I know what's under there. You got piercings and tats and all kinds of things. And he's not very big at all. 30 carries, SEC field, steadfast refusal to slide. That's how you have your head coach going, yeah, he's in pretty bad shape now. I don't know. Dan, am I being cynical or am I being experienced here? When I hear a head coach and there is something going on with an injury, it's like Kirby, he's got injury information handcuffed in a briefcase to his wrist. All right. When you have a head coach say, yeah, my quarterback's in pretty bad shape, aren't you supposed to like have a critical eye towards that sort of transparency about an injury?
Yeah, sure. I mean, because then sometimes the game decision turns into, oh, hey, look, number two is out there on the field. We knew he'd be there all along. But also, though, too, with Lane, you know, for all of the things he says and does, he seems to kind of have a point whenever he does things. Yeah. And there is brutal honesty whenever he does. So on this one, I think I believe him.
The only time, and I always got along with Phil Fulmer, and I just only tell the story for this one reason. I think it was 05. And I would be up in Knoxville on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, usually come home Thursday morning and then go to whatever game. And so that's when I would be in Knoxville, whatever school I was at. And so I would ask Coach Fulmer on Monday about injuries, ask him about Tuesday on injuries, Wednesday. By Wednesday, Chuck, when do we do injuries? Thursdays? What's today? Wednesday? I was like a school teacher. I was like, what's today? Wednesday. Well, yeah, but see, I'm going tomorrow. No, we'll do injuries on Thursday, I promise you. So Tennessee used to give injuries on Thursday. Lane Kiffin, and they wouldn't give any information. Even if you were there on Thursday, yeah, he might play. We're not sure yet. You know, we still got a couple. We're going to see him pregame. And so I just ask, and I wouldn't get any information, but I'd ask. Lane, when a head coach makes you not ask, And this is not the long snapper or the backup punter. This is Matt Corral, who could win a Heisman Trophy.
My favorite is always, and Gary Kubiak used to do this when I covered the Texans, he's got a knee, he's got a shoulder, he's got an elbow. It's like, we know he's got all those things,
yes.
But what exactly does he have?
I hope he has two, actually, but are they working? When a coach is that forthcoming with the information, I'm wondering why. So we will take a break, wrap up on this Wednesday next.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Let's identify where our threats are, and complacency, good being the enemy of great, is something that we talk about a lot, and we don't want those things to affect us. So we're very open about it. We have conversation about it and talk. But outside of that, the ranking doesn't come up much.
Kirby Smart, head coach of the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs. I believe that when the College Football Playoff Committee issues its initial rankings, is that next? Dan, find that out.
I believe it's the first week of November, but let me see.
Oh, you know what? I think they pushed it back last year because of the stilted calendar, and then they may have left it back. It was usually the last week of October, I'm wanting to say, but they may have pushed it back into November as well. I can't recall that.
First one will be November 2nd.
Yeah, so there you go. So they had pushed it back last year, and they decided to leave it there. That was the story there. So it'll come in basically 2 weeks from now, and that's when it will begin to matter a little bit. Right now, the AP and the coaches poll, it's just a general, very generic feel of how some people with ballots and then some people who fill out ballots for folks who have ballots, how they feel in a very general, non-specific way about rankings in college. It doesn't mean anything, and there's no weight applied to it. But the College Football Playoff rankings, at least those are the same people who will eventually be given the rankings that do matter. The beat reporter in Wichita, he don't matter. Just doesn't. So that's Kirby Smart, though, talking about the ranking. There is a chance that, again, and I'm not even going to lie to you, I didn't watch it live. And if you did watch it live, you either are part of the fan base or you gambled. That's the only way. I watched Vanderbilt in South Carolina. Again, not live. Not even on my DVR. I realized that, because I get sketchy about my DVR when I have like four things recording at the same time, even though they tell me, no, it can do 10. I'm like, nah, I don't want to stress it. So I knew that like SEC Network, they'll replay everything, and I was going to go back. And my last priority from the weekend was Vanderbilt in South Carolina. And so I watched that game Monday night. And it's about as bad a game as you're going to see in the entire 2021 season. It's neither team is very talented. South Carolina, obviously, more so. But neither team has a lot of just raw talent, 1 through 85. They don't really look like SEC teams very deep. And there were so many mistakes. And in the fourth quarter, Luke Doty, against a three-man rush, felt a little pressured and threw an interception. And then a couple of possessions later, got the ball back, and he threw another interception. Now, the reason that it was just another possession later is because Vanderbilt doesn't value football. Now, I didn't say Vanderbilt doesn't value the football. Vanderbilt doesn't value football. After the first interception, they ran a few plays, had a fumble of their own. South Carolina gets the ball back again. Doty throws another fourth quarter interception in Vanderbilt territory. So Vanderbilt, I'll give them credit. They're up by three with about 5 minutes left. They drive down inside the South Carolina about the 20, the 15-yard line. They kick a field goal. With a minute 40 left, minute 35 remaining, kick a field goal. Puts them up by six. The reason that there was a minute and 40 still on the clock is just, I will give South Carolina and that coaching staff and then also the players, especially Luke Doty, I'll give them credit. Because with about a minute 50 left, South Carolina had all three timeouts remaining. If South Carolina had one snap where Luke Doty realized he was behind the guard, or he was slow to get the play out, or something where Luke Doty lost his mind and had to waste a timeout in the third quarter, If Shane Beamer had said, oh, I don't like the look, if before a punt or after a change of possession, despite everything South Carolina did not do, the Gamecocks had all three times. First half, I don't care if you call a timeout to scratch your foot. You do whatever you want with it. I don't care. Second half, no. Nuclear launch codes. Like underground at that place in Colorado. What is that, NORAD? Yeah. Second half timeouts, and South Carolina didn't do this and didn't do this and didn't do this and didn't do this, and they still had all three timeouts, and that is a huge reason why South Carolina won a conference game on Saturday. Worst game you'll see in the SEC all year long. South Carolina, at least in one way, they did what they were supposed to. What up, Dan?
It's not very often that we can compare ourselves to athletes or either coaches in major college football, but in this case, we finally can. I thought that there was a great point brought up about Jeremy Pruitt by Braden Gall about he's probably now with this lawsuit and threats of litigation pretty much ruined any opportunity he has to ever get back into college football if he wants to. The same goes with Nick Rolovich. You go after your AD because it's like a buddy of mine. We're talking about one of our other friends about him kind of airing out his former employer, and it's just like, man, you can't do that. You got to eat the turd sandwich. You got to have a smile on your face, and you got to thank everybody for the opportunity and move on. How funny is it, Chuck, that with all of this in a man who has not been used to positive publicity and good press, Ed Orgeron might be the one out of all three of those guys that has the best chance to get back in.
That can't be true.
It is.
Probably is. All right. Wraps it up on a Wednesday, folks. Great job, David and Dan and everybody listening. Give yourselves a hand. We'll be back in 22 hours with more college football conversation.